Well, pick any kid's Bible, and I can guarantee that you will have stories of Daniel in those books, kids' books, along with Jonah, along with Noah. It seems those stories are in the Bible just really for children, and great GBK's material, great kids' stories, fantastic bedtime reading of lions and kings and raging furnaces, all the stuff to give a four-year-old nightmare, really. But as you actually read Daniel, you soon discover that it's actually anything but a children's book, especially when you get to chapters about beasts and dragons and abomination of desolation. It deserves an MA rating, not just a PG rating. High-level violence. Some scenes may frighten adults. Some animals may have been harmed in this production. It's hardly a kid's story. There are some great kid's stories, of course, in the book of Daniel. Our GBK's program, our youth program, will be going through this series as well. So parents, talk to your children about what they're learning. Talk to your teens about what they're learning. They're learning hopefully the same things, because I wrote the Bible studies. Hopefully they match up to what you're learning in here in church. But more than great kid's stories for children's Bibles, Daniel is actually a book for adults and teenagers. It's part of God's word that's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training us in righteousness for godly living, for living for the Lord Jesus. It's a section in God's word, in the Old Testament part of the Bible, that shows us over and over again the power and majesty and wisdom and glory of our great God and Saviour in action. And the same God in action in Daniel's day is actually the same God in action in our day. The God who can shut lions' mouths, can topple human kingdoms, can quench raging furnaces, is actually the same God who, with his sovereign hand, can intervene at an international level, at a national level, and at a personal day-to-day level in your life and mine. Otherwise, why do Christians pray if God cannot intervene? But he does. Well, today's Bible talk, like many that I will do at this church as we begin a new series, I like to do a big picture sermon. Imagine hanging on a drone flying over Gungahlin. And I've noticed there's a lot more, well, there's drones up here. We didn't get drones down in Wanneyasa. But imagine the drone over Gungahlin. It's cheaper than a hot air balloon. You're hanging on, and we're going to journey over the landscape of Daniel. Just don't let go, otherwise it'd be very messy if you did that. I've called our series on the screen Faithfulness in a Faraway Land, and that'll become obvious as we journey through this part of God's holy word. You've got a talk outline as well. Some people like taking notes. It's a good opportunity to do that, to stay awake. If that helps you, do that. If you want to draw, do that. Or even if you just want to have that in front of you, it'll show you the logic of where we're going, and hopefully that'll help you to concentrate, because this is the most important part of our gathering. Not the caffeine, not the coffee, but this is the most important time. We're going to look at the who, where, when, what, and why are we studying Daniel at this church. So who? Who? Big picture sermon. Who is? For a book that's named Daniel, we don't really learn a great deal about the guy. Ezekiel, another part of the Bible, tells us that he was a man of wisdom and righteousness. The Lord Jesus tells us in Matthew 24 that Daniel is a prophet, so that's helpful to know. Daniel would probably say he was just a young man trying to live a godly life in a godless society, and God got hold of him and did some pretty awesome things. But he'd be happy not to sleep with the lions again. It's funny, sometimes we make Bible guys and Bible women, Bible girls out to be super Bible people. And we give them a cape and we think they're sort of super. But we forget that they have feet of clay, that they have sin-stained hearts like you and me, and that none of them are actually the offspring of Eve, who would one day come to crush the serpent's head. So don't make much out of Bible characters and try and sort of study them and follow them and sort of do a Daniel or Everyday Esther or the 40-day diet of JB or beauty tips from Esther or something like that. Don't sort of get all caught up and go, let's do a character study of the Bible. No, instead you should follow the one true Bible man to whom all these Old Testament characters are actually ultimately pointing us to. Who is Daniel? We know that he's a Jewish man from the famous tribe of Judah, which automatically puts him in good company. Who does that? Who's also from the tribe of Judah? King David. Who else? The Lord Jesus. Yep, I thought you might say Zerubbabel. He's from the tribe of Judah as well. We also know that his name means, Daniel's name means, God is judge. So when we named our eldest daughter Daniela, it obviously means my dad is the best. We know that Daniel's a young man. Chapter 1, he's probably a teenager. By the time we get to chapter 12, he's an old man, 80, 85 years old, having lived through kings and kingdoms. Other things we can learn about who Daniel is? Well, we know he's a principled man. He's a man of conviction. He's good at interpreting dreams. He likes his veggies, though probably not Brussels sprouts. They're from the devil, I think. Lions don't fancy him. Chapter 9 reminds us of his own sinfulness, but he's pretty good at trusting God. He's pretty good at enduring to the end. That is something we can learn from Daniel. That's the who. Where and when? Well, please open your Bibles to the book of Daniel. I'll give you a moment to find it or look it up on the contents page. Where and when we're looking at? The book of Daniel. For the book of Daniel, as you read it, and other parts of the Bible as well, Old Testament and New Testament, sometimes they're really helpful because they give us dates and markings to go, where are we and what time of period? This is world history. This is real life stuff is being written about here. And Daniel's pretty good at giving us some key dates along the way. So if you look there, the very opening sentence of Daniel, Daniel chapter 1, verse 1 tells us, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it, or overthrew it. So we can work out from Bible history, but also stuff outside of the Bible, which part of world history we are in, or ancient history we're in. And so on the screen is a bit of a summary for you. In 605 BC, 600 odd years before Jesus, the first of three deportations happen from Israel, or the Israelites, the people of God, to Babylon. Daniel was in the first wave. Ezekiel's probably in the second or the third wave, maybe 10 years later. Then in 586 BC, so you do the maths, 30-odd years later, Jerusalem is finally clobbered. It's sort of ransacked and overthrown by the Babylonians. Babylon, by the way, is modern-day Iraq, if you want to know where it is in the world. And through the book of Daniel, we hear about these kings, King Nebuchadnezzar, King Belshazzar, Darius the Mede, and Cyrus the Persian. I put question marks there because some people think Cyrus and Darius are the same person. I don't really care what you think about that. It's not really important. Ultimately, though, Daniel is a book about some of God's people living in exile. So think the book of Esther is another story of God's people in exile, or 1 Peter chapter 1. They're in a faraway land, yet God calls them to remain faithful to his promises and to his commands. That's no easy task. It's not quite the same, but I want you to imagine living in East Germany in 1961. Imagine you're a Christian living in Berlin, when one day, one morning, you happen to wake up to find this dirty, great big wall being built outside your apartment. This wall will soon exile you, separate you from your friends and family on the other side of the city of Berlin. It will block you from going to church on the other side of your city. This is a serious border control that Queensland and WA haven't quite worked out yet. But this is one way to really quarantine everyone. Your beloved light rail comes to an end at the end of your street. Your MyWay card's totally useless now. And to make matters worse, you are now living under, for the next 30 years, you'll live under a brutal communist regime. Having survived the war years through the reign of Hitler and his terror, you've now got to put up with another guy with a scary moustache who's just as evil. You used to be called a German. Now you're an East German, totally different. Totally new country, new identity, new football team. That's how different it is. Your currency changes. Your money's useless. Your faith gets trampled. Your culture gets revised. Your education system gets turned upside down. Even the goodies you used to buy at your local shop, now they're hard to get. They're in short supply as you learn to eat and drink different foods from the East German Aldi. Even though you haven't changed addresses, even though you haven't booked a removalist, you're in exile, living in a foreign land. Perhaps that's a taste, only a taste of what Daniel's about to experience, but of course far worse, because he has changed address. He has been physically uprooted and carted off to a foreign land with now smelly foreigners, strange foods and customs, different gods and temples, different smells. Life has changed for you in so many different ways. And if you want a taste of what that's like, speak to some missionaries that you know, or even some ex-missionaries in this church. Life is so different. That's the where and when of the book of Daniel. Well, what's this book all about? When I was at Bible College in Sydney, one of my lecturers wrote a very helpful book. One of my lecturers, I think Adam had him as well, a guy by the name of Graham Goldsworthy. Very helpful lecturer, and he's written a very helpful book. I don't have it on our giveaway table there, but one day I'll get a copy. I didn't want to give my copy away. But the book's called Gospel and Kingdom. And in this book, Graham Goldsworthy helpfully summarises the realm of God or the kingdom of God with these three phrases: God's people in God's place under God's rule. It's a really helpful way to understand God's reign, God's rule, God's kingdom, God's people in God's place under God's rule. But in the book of Daniel, you've got to seriously question that point. Okay, we've got some of God's people. Daniel and his mates, will meet them next week. But they're certainly not in God's place. They're in stinking pagan Babylon, long way from Jerusalem, long way from their beloved temple. And they certainly aren't living under God's rule. They're living under the rule of an evil tyrant who has to spend his whole life spelling his name for people. Nebuchadnezzar. That's double Z, or I'll rip your arms off, and he would too. So you've got to seriously ask, where is the king? You're Daniel and his mates, you're there in Babylon. Where is the kingdom of God in this wretched foreign land? Has God forsaken his people? Has God broken his beloved covenant, his promises to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and to King David? Has God turned his back on Israel, his chosen beloved people, once and for all? Remember our reading from Psalm 137 that Irene just gave us, made famous when I was growing up by Boney M, and it made a countdown song. Now the Sons of Korah, Melbourne band, sing a version you might know as well. By the rivers of Babylon, the psalmist says, by the rivers of Babylon we sat and we wept. Why are they sitting in Babylon and weeping? Well, we remembered Zion, we remembered Jerusalem. It's a distant memory, and we're weeping by the rivers of Babylon. And then the psalmist says, how can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? I'm a St. George rugby league fan, like some other smart people in this church as well. Imagine if I started singing Up the Mighty Dragons at an AFL game. Totally different code. Imagine if I was there watching tennis, getting a sore neck, and I go, come on, you Dragons! Or imagine, even worse, I'm at a golf. I won't call it a golf game. I'm just watching the golf, and it's silent, and about to tee off, and I go, come on, you Dragons! I'm singing the songs of the saints in a foreign land. It's just weird. I wouldn't do that. Well, here they are. How can we sing the songs of the Lord in a foreign land? Life couldn't get more miserable for God's special, beloved, chosen people. Here you are in Babylon. You are homeless. You are captive to a nation that ridicules your faith, that makes fun of your God, that laughs at your beloved temple that is now just ruins. You've got to ask, seriously, where are you, God, in this wretched foreign land? Are we truly God's people in God's place under your rule? Well, as we go through this series of talks, it's helpful to have the drone view, the big picture view of the entire book of Daniel. And if you haven't read through Daniel at all, or if you're not reading anything in the Bible, grab the book of Daniel during the week and start reading through it. But the book of Daniel is very ordered, it's very stylized, it's very sort of programmatic, if you like, or structured. Here's how it works. it neatly breaks into two sections, chapters 1 to 6. Daniel writes in the third person. He does this, he does that. But in chapters 7 to 12, it's I, Daniel, did this. Very different, distinct writings there. The first six chapters are about history written after it happens, and that's how we write history, isn't it? It happens and we write about it. Chapters 7 to 12 is history written before it happens, remarkably. Chapters 1 to 6, fantastic stories, narrative, we might say, if you want a fancy word for it. What are some of the fantastic stories that you might know about? Just call them out. Daniel 1 to 6, what comes to mind? Can't hear you. Lion's Den, there's a lion's den. Anyone? Writing on that mysterious handwriting on the wall. What else? Fiery furnace, very famous. That'll be in the kids' Bibles for sure. Fiery furnace, anyone else? Vegetarian diet, that's next week for the person who's married to a dietitian. So fantastic stories there. But then you get to chapters 7 to 12, and then all of a sudden, totally different style of writing. You now have what's called visions or prophecy, or this fancy word called apocalyptic writing. And there you can tell the time it's going to take me to prepare each of these sermons. Normal prep for the normal chapters 1 to 6, scary prep for chapters 7 to 12. The other strange thing about the book, which we don't really realise in English, is this. It's written in two languages. You've got the first little bit, and then chapters 8 to 12 in Aramaic, and then you get this middle section written in Hebrew there on the screen. And there's been lots of theories. Bible scholars love writing about all this stuff. Lots of theories about why. I'm not really sure. You just have to ask Daniel one day. But perhaps because chapters 8 to 12 deals with the nations outside of Jerusalem, maybe that's why it's written in a more universal language of Aramaic. But if you've got, you might have your own theories. You can talk about it at cafe time next week, or you can ask Adam or Bob. They might know why it's in two different languages. I don't know. But more important than all that is this key verse or key theme that keeps coming up in the book. On the screen, you'll see all the references there. Know that the Most High God is sovereign. He rules over the kingdoms of men. That's a key theme verse. We'll hear and see and read lots and lots of times as we go through this series. If you want the New Testament equivalent, Romans 13 verse 1. Where Paul writes, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist that have been instituted by God." Which might be a hard verse to take in sometimes as you think of the world leaders and the craziness that goes on sometimes, but they are put there by God. You see, if you read Daniel and you only see hungry lions and fiery furnaces and mysterious hands writing on the wall, then you've missed the point. Because the main character in the book of Daniel is not Daniel, but the sovereign Lord God. All through this book, we'll see, Daniel and his mates are caught up in these changing times and changing kingdoms. But there is one constant, the unchanging kingdom of God, the unchanging God himself. Daniel chapter 1 verse 21 tells us as much. Here it is on the screen, but it's also in your Bibles. The verse there, I've got it there, I don't have the verse. There it is. And Daniel was there, that is, in Babylon, until the first year of King Cyrus. All around, things are changing, but Daniel is still there. Through all this, because of the sovereign God. I jumbled my slides up there. I wanted to tell you about this Christian artist, Jeremy Camp. Some of you might have heard of him. He sings this great song. I'm not going to sing it for you. But here's a chorus. He says, "Earth shakes, hearts break, things change, life fades away. But you don't, God, you don't, you don't. Days end, stars burn out, men lie, kings die. But you don't, you don't, you don't. All because that God is the Most High and he's sovereign and he's ruling over all that's happening." See this verse 21. My clicker's gone. There it is. Thank you. Daniel was there in Babylon right until the end. Is a reminder that the Lord God is sovereign over all history. Over all kingdoms, over all that comes and goes in our world, including pandemics. So trust him. It's a basic lesson out of that. See, chapter 1, we'll see this next week. Chapter 1 ends with this simple comment about the staying power of Daniel, given by God, of course. Daniel represents God's people in a foreign land after the collapse of their own temple, the collapse of their city, the collapse of their homeland is gone. Daniel is a picture of hope in a hopeless land. He's a picture of faith in a faraway land. And in this little verse at the end of chapter 1 in verse 21, Daniel is a reminder of the future that Daniel will actually outlast the Babylonian Empire. He will actually outlast the Medes and Persian Empire. We'll see them happening. He'll outlive two or three royal dynasties. Kings die, but you don't, God. We might say the queen doesn't die, but she will one day. Kings and queens die, but God doesn't. All because the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of this world. The other thing to realise about this big picture drone view of Daniel is that in chapter 7 of Daniel, we're given a brief glimpse of someone who will change world history and impact you and me even as we sit here today in 2021. In the space of a few verses in Daniel chapter 7, we're given a glimpse of someone who you can't ignore, even if you tried. So I've already shown you on the screen, we're going to Daniel. There we go. Thanks, Alex. It's working now. Please open up to Daniel chapter 7. And let me read just verse 1, and then we'll jump down to verses 13 and 14. This is the second section of Daniel. He's writing now in the first person. He writes, "In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions of his head as he lay in his bed. Then he wrote down the dream and told the sum of the matter." Now jump over to verse 13, and he writes, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days," we sang about earlier, "and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed." You know what? It takes the New Testament to actually show us who this one like the Son of Man really is. It takes, in fact, the Lord Jesus, who goes around with his favourite phrase on his lips, the Son of Man, describing himself all the time. He is the one who has been given all authority, dominion, glory and sovereign power. Daniel 7, in fact, the entire book of Daniel is pointing us to see the Son of Man crucified upon a cross for your sins and mine. The Son of Man risen to new life to make you and me friends with God. To see the Son of Man who will one day come again on the clouds of heaven. It's all about him. Notice what else we're told in Daniel 7. You hear that little phrase that all peoples, nations and languages should serve him? That's a reminder of what we pray Gungahlin Bible Church will be like, that all peoples and nations and languages will come to find the Lord Jesus, that none are excluded. None are excluded from God's family in Christ, including Tasmanians and New Zealanders as well. So please get used to me reminding GBCs, if this is going to be your church, please get used to reminding me that God's love and his grace is colourblind. That there's no place for racism at this church, for somehow thinking your nationality is superior to others. How weird is that? For Jesus, the Son of Man, welcomes all nations. There's no place for elitism at this church, thinking that somehow you're superior to others because of, I don't know, you've got a few degrees or something. There's no sexism at this church, no ageism at this church. For God's word is for all peoples, all ages. And there's no place for thinking that English is the chosen language of God And so we'll work hard at welcoming those with English as a second or third or fourth language even at this church. Our series in Daniel, you see, will remind us that the Lord Jesus from Daniel chapter 7 is someone whom you cannot ignore. And he invites you to bow the knee and to confess him as your king. And if you've yet to do that, then what a great time to do that as we journey through this series in Daniel. Or you could just read Mark's gospel and make it a lot quicker for you as well. Well, why do we study Daniel? Why start GBC with a series on Daniel? Could have gone to many parts of the Bible. Why study a text that's thousands of years old that is actually even written before Jesus? Why not pick something easier in the New Testament that is more relevant for us? Well, remember Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and we wept when we remembered Zion, our beloved town, our beloved city. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while we're in a foreign land? Well, Daniel and his mates, which you'll see next week and beyond, will actually show us how we can sing to the Lord in a foreign land. For Daniel, the book of Daniel has much to teach us. For we too can ask very similar questions that they were asking in Daniel's day. Where is the kingdom of God in Canberra? In pagan, atheistic Canberra. Where are you, God? Where is God? Where's the kingdom of God in Australia, in our world today? Is it in modern-day Israel, as some people think? Is it in modern-day Babylon, in Iraq? Hardly. Has God forgotten his people? We've got to ask the question, in this day and age, is God really still on the throne? As our society champions secularism and prides itself on atheism, isn't it rather stupid, isn't it rather futile, meaningless for a bunch of Christians on a Sunday morning to sing songs of the Lord in this time and place? As our world groans under the weight of a pandemic and its ongoing fears that come from that, is God really the Most High? Has he lost control? Where on earth do we see God's people in God's place living under God's rule? If you're thinking, you've got to ask those questions in today's world. Well, it takes Christians with their eyes in their Bible, and I hope that's really the only type of Christian you can be, eyes in the Bible, to see God's perspective. For you might hear the world news, or you might listen to the media that's constantly telling us the Christian church is in decline and the Christian church is irrelevant. Or you might hear a news report of God's people suffering under a wicked regime. Or we haven't heard it for a while, but we will, of another terrorist bombing in a church somewhere around our world. Or you might hear or read about that Christianity is now threatened with extinction, only to be studied in schools one day like the Aztecs or the ancient Greeks. Okay, children, get out your textbooks. We're going to learn about these Christians, they used to be called, in Canberra. But the book of Daniel, as we read it and study it, will actually remind us that that's not true. It's not the true story. It's not the right perspective when you read your Bibles. For it's not the end of the story of God's people or God's kingdom. For God is the living God. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. We started our celebration this morning reminding ourselves of the words of the creed. God is the one who gives rise to human kingdoms and he makes them fall. As we read Daniel, it reminds us he is sovereign over all times and places and that his people are preserved no matter what's going on, even if it's a small remnant in Daniel's day or a small remnant in modern day Babylon, or even if it's a hidden underground church in North Korea or China, or in Laos, or even if it's a new church starting out at Harrison School that'll never make the news, unless, of course, we do something stupid. So don't do something stupid to make the news. We don't need to do that. Where on earth do we see God's people in God's place, under God's rule? Well, open your biblical eyes, and you will see God's people at GBC living under God's rule. Not everyone, but some of us, living under God's rule. That is, taking seriously the claims of the Bible, that Jesus is the judge of the living and the dead, that Jesus will one day come again on the clouds of heaven, that no other name is given that a person can be saved. See God's people at GBC living under God's rule, letting Jesus be on the throne in your life while we live in a Christless society, letting him and his making decisions and choices with him at the centre and his church family as a priority, living with the Lord Jesus, following his rule, seeking to read and obey his word morning by morning or night by night, whenever you do it, fellowship by fellowship group, following his rule. That's how you see God's people in God's place under his rule. And as Christians, like Daniel, like the people of God, we are actually strangers and aliens in a foreign land. And the cry often is, God is dead, or at the very least, Christianity is a religion for the dark age, from the dark ages, and that you've got to get on the right side of history. But as we study Daniel, or rather let Daniel study us, let the book of Daniel, God's word, study us, we're reminded that we actually are on the right side of history, for Christ has risen from the dead. And Jesus will come back again on the clouds of heaven. And we are still God's people in God's place, living under God's rule. And Jesus continues to build and grow his church. And so we can find our voices and still sing. Or if you're in Sydney churches or Melbourne churches, you can still hum in the middle of a pandemic the songs of the Lord while strangers in a foreign land. As we go through sermon by sermon, chapter by chapter, we'll see over and over again how important this key verse, this key theme really is. Know that the Most High God is sovereign. He's in charge. He rules over the kingdoms of this world. And in 2021, he is still in charge. And he can be trusted no matter what's going on in your life or mine. We're called to faithfulness in a faraway land, even when that land appears attractive or everlasting or overpriced, like in Palmerston. We're called to be faithful in a faraway land and to keep living with Jesus as your Lord, even when it's hard, even when you're a minority report. We're called to be God's people in God's place, under God's rule. And that is no small task. And that is no easy task, especially to do by yourself, which again highlights the value of Christian fellowship and why we're calling people to belong to this new family. One final story. George Shultz was a Secretary of State during the Reagan administration in the 1980s when the music was all good. George Shultz would appoint various ambassadors or diplomats to go all around the world representing the US. But before he did that, he would have them come into his office, and there on his desk he would have this big world globe, and he'd ask them to spin the globe, and then for the newly appointed ambassadors, diplomats, to point their finger on the country they were being sent to. At the very least, he would say, you've got to go over that globe, you've got to know where you're going, you've got to identify your country. It was a simple test just to see if people had done their homework. Did they know? Did the Americans know where in the world they were going? Well, one day, a very close friend of George Shultz by the name of Mike Mansfield, here he is on the screen, he was invited into the office of George Shultz, and he was appointed to be the diplomat, a diplomatic post in Japan. He too was asked this simple question, very close friend of George Shultz, but he too was asked to spin the globe and to say, Mike, can you please identify your country? Mike Mansfield comes in, spins the globe, but this time his hand passes over the islands of Japan and he places it, stops the spinning globe, and he places it on the United States of America and he says, that's my country, no matter where you send me. And as Christians, like Daniel and the people of God, we are strangers and foreigners and aliens in a foreign land. And the Bible always reminds, the New Testament reminds us, our citizenship, our homeland is actually in heaven. And we say, that's my country, no matter where I'm living. Citizens of heaven. May our series in Daniel help us to be God's faithful people in a faraway land, always pointing your hearts or your eyes to our eternal home, which of course is given to us by grace, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we sing to the Ancient of Days?